Grant.
Yo.
Hey, okay. What's up, Kerry?
Hi, sweetie.
Yo. Wow, it's been what, a month?
Well, at least.
No, it hasn't.
That's 3 weeks.
2 weeks.
No.
Oh, 3 weeks, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's been at least 3 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. How's everybody going?
We just talked about that, as a matter of fact. I forgot to print mine up tonight, and his has not been worked on.
Ah.
But I got some URLs for him to give him tomorrow. Work very
so
quickly.
Let me guess, you are requesting
an extension.
Well, to that, I go off now and go print it up.
Well, I have a problem, darling.
Mm-hmm.
A romantic problem. I got married.
Congratulations. Where's my scarf?
I ain't having a baby. I just got married.
Now I'm confused.
Earth customs, you don't have cigars at wedding.
What do you have for wedding?
Huh?
What do you have for wedding? You don't have cigars.
No, nothing.
Lots of booze.
Everybody brings some.
Flowers. Flowers. Yes, flowers. Flowers, flowers. Pink flowers. Wrong season.
Anyhow,
you got
darling,
nice.
I've been goofing off.
Okay. I understand that family life is much more important than that.
Well, I've been working my bottom off. And I just completely spaced it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I totally understand. I totally understand.
I did. I just completely spaced it. I'm being honest about it.
Yes, honesty is very important. So yours is done, Russ, right?
Wednesday, I have to do it up.
Okay. I'd like to see that next week. I'd also like to see Mark's as soon as possible.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get down to the real business.
Go ahead.
And first of all, how is everybody?
Oh, awesome. Incredible.
Great.
I'm getting better. Have you seen him in the monitors? Is he younger or healthier or something?
He looks about the same age as Oren's definitely brighter. He needs more voice for us. But I think there's an obvious reason for that.
True.
Life will do that to you.
Well, marriage will just take years off your life, I guess.
What are you doing?
Adam on it. I'm
kidding. Okay. The most important thing is happiness.
Absolutely.
Okay, which brings me on to a very important topic, happiness. Happiness and being self-confident in what you do and how that affects your spiritual being. If you're spiritually happy, 9 times out of 10, you're physically happy, mentally happy, and happy in your relationships. Somebody that is constantly seeking doesn't appear to be as happy because they don't know what they're looking for. They haven't settled for one thing, so that they're constantly looking and searching, and they're not happy with what they've got. And if they're not happy with what they've got, they're not happy with what they have. And they're not happy with who they are, which is important. The most important thing is happiness of being who we are. I'm happy to be Kerry. I'm happy to be the way that I am. My body, in my opinion, is perfect. My outlook on life is perfect. I'm very, very happy. But if we take some other people that appear to be constantly complaining and striving and looking and searching but have no specific goal, then are they happy?
No,
they're not. We've seen quite a lot of examples recently of people that are striving and looking and searching and they're not happy. There was one. She is a searcher. She is not happy. She is not happy with what she's searching for, so therefore she retreats and hides and changes her name and changes her personality at a whim, which suggests that she is not happy with herself. Now, all the negative stuff in the world that can happen to somebody does not have anything to do with that outlook. What has to do with that outlook is whether they're happy with what they are. Now, the environment around them, 9 times out of 10, does contribute to that factor. And the factor is that in your society, you have the ideal woman. Whether her name is Christie Brinkley, Uma Thurman,
Cindy Crawford,
Nicole Kidman, they are perfect. They have the perfect body, they're slim, They're fairly tall, they're perfectly proportioned. Was it Cindy Crawford is the one with the eyebrow?
There's a little more.
Okay, now who's the one with the eyebrow? The continuous eyebrow? There's one that has, never mind. But those ladies or those women are actually happy with it as they are. They don't go around wanting, yeah, facelifts and so on. They're happy as who they are. And unfortunately, society looks up to them and idolizes them and says that you have to be like these people, which is total posh and bunk. Mm-hmm. It's total baloney. It's totally irresponsible. There are some people that are naturally dumpy. There are some people that are naturally skinny. There are people that are naturally have acne problems. That's who they are. If they learn to be happy with themselves, then they are truly happy. They can be spiritually happy, physically and mentally happy. Now, on the back front, you've got people like Tom Cruise, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Hanks, and they're all fairly good-looking, muscular men. And again, they are happy with who they are. And men have to live up to those standards. Yeah, Fabio. Yeah, you have to be strong, muscular, and good-looking. Again, that is total tosh. Total bunk. The most important person that you have to look up to is yourself. Be yourself. Be who you are. Be who you want to be. Not who somebody else is. You can't be Tom Cruise, can you? You can't be Tom Hanks, Skip.
No.
Both of you are happy as you are.
Mm-hmm. I worked the same trade for 48 years. I guess I'm happy with me. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it.
You've just said it right there. Not in how you said it, but the way you were saying it. You were laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That is happiness. That is contentment. It's good to strive to improve yourself, but to live up to a standard that is somebody else's standard is wrong. The most important thing is to be happy with who you are, regardless of who you are. Yeah, as I keep on saying, you can't be Cindy Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be Tom Hanks. You can't be Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can't be Nicole Kidman. You've got to be who you are.
Yeah, we're not guaranteed those people are happy with themselves either.
No.
More like Cindy Crawford might look at Nicole Kidman and want to be more like her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't know these things.
Yeah, but you know, my favorite comment is, God didn't make any junk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are who you are, which
That's
is
right.
My dissertation. It's being who you are. Now, once you've achieved the understanding that you are who you are,
mm-hmm.
Then you can start on true happiness. Not living up to anybody else's standards. Be yourself. Be who you are. Not some idealized version. You'll never get that. You'll never, ever get that. You've got to be who you are. I am Kiri Tanaka. I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm very contented. And in being very contented, I can focus on the more important things like learning more about my engineering, learning more about electronics, learning more about my spirituality, which is the most important thing. Not just one, but all of them are just as important. Learning the spirituality, learning the happiness, learning the developments in your chosen field of business.
Sure, you just said the magic word.
Which magic words for those?
Learning,
exactly. Learning is very important. First of all, learn to be yourself. Secondly, learn to use this. As I point to the host's head, learn to use this gray matter in here. That will bring happiness. Not all the money in the world. Not all. What's one of Mark's favorite comments? Money hasn't brought him happiness. It's brought in pain, grief, and aggravation. Yeah. When you don't have it, you struggle, and when you do have it, you don't have to struggle because you're worrying about other things. I've heard Mark talk about that, and I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, there are a lot of times where it has caused him nothing but pain and aggravation. And when he's done without it, he's been very happy. He struggles, he works hard. And struggling and working hard is good for your human condition because it gives you goals and objectives, it gives you advancement.
Also makes you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, questions?
Hmm. Yeah, I have one. Your dissertation contradicted itself in one important fact.
Okay.
Mainly at the start and at the end.
Okay.
At the start, you said people are unhappy because they're struggling. At the end, you said working hard and struggling makes you happy.
They're struggling with themselves. Let me preface my opening comments by saying that they struggle with themselves.
Later on.
But not
financially.
If you struggle with yourself, struggle with who you are, then you've got problems. If you struggle financially, you don't have problems. Well, you do, but it's something of a challenge that you enjoy and relish. If you're constantly struggling with yourself, then you can't concentrate on the second struggle of improving yourself. Yeah. The struggle is with being happy with who you are. That's why I did the long thing about being a struggle, about Tom Hanks, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Cindy Crawford, Nicole Kidman.
Trying to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any more questions?
I think we've done this one.
Okay. I'll be back.
Okay.
I'll keep my knickers on. Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Russ.
Good evening.
And how is everyone functioning?
Excellent.
That great. Is good. Congratulations, Skip.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. And how does it feel to be no longer a single man?
Very, very nice.
That is good. Okay, let me continue with Kieran's comments. And Russ, you were good to pick up on the contradiction. I was going to bring that up, but it is not necessary. What Kieran's decided to open up is an interesting learning experience, which is something that unfortunately is frequently neglected, is the happiness of oneself with oneself. The understanding that to be in harmony with yourself means that you are in harmony with everything. And Kiri has somewhat jumped around the edges of dealing with focusing in on achieving that happiness first before expanding out. And it is not a long, drawn-out, protracted, self-defeating purpose, but the purpose that you focus within yourself so that you can become contented with who you are. And it is a short process that, first of all, you have to accept who you are, not, as Kiri put it, some idealized version of some movie star. It is important to be contented with what you are given, what you start off like. And your body constantly changes as it progresses through its natural evolutionary cycle to a better condition, to the point where you now have the abilities to develop yourself in happiness, being who you are. And in doing so, you achieve the harmony around you. You become more contactable by others, other creatures of your planet, other spiritual entities, which brings you up higher, which in turn increases your happiness. And you feel happier, you transmit that happiness, and in turn it is returned to you again with a higher level of happiness. So to be unhappy with who you are means that you have less of that happiness, and people do not reflect it back at you, which does not increase itself. So you stay at that level where you are not neither regressing or advancing. You stay an unhappy individual. But as soon as you start to smile and are happy and contented with who you are, that is reflected to other people who in turn reflect it back, amplify, and you in turn feel more happiness and reflect it out even more, and so on, in an escalating pattern, which continually gets better. Of course, there are moments where you have to deal with negative situations, but if you maintain that happy external experience, then you do not subtract from it, and you have to deal with negative or depressing or harmful situations. Okay, do we have questions? Okay, let us start with Skip. And we will go back to the boards if you have some questions at this Skip.
Well, I guess I've operated my whole life under the positive aspect of it, which made me feel more appreciated because I respect other people because I respect myself. And like you say, it reflects back to you more than twofold. Whatever you give out, you always get back.
That's correct.
Tried to teach my grandson this. He's slowly getting the lesson. But he's a young man and he's grown. You know, it takes time.
What, did you pick it up to start off with as quickly as you do now?
No.
So you have to remember.
Well, I have a little comment that I always tell the kids. When I was 15, my dad was the dumbest individual I'd ever met in my life. By the time I turned 21, he's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I was pretty stupid. I knew everything at 15.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And by the time I got to 21, I realized that, hey, I wasn't that smart. I think my dad was that smart. And I try to instill this in young people. And they're slowly learning. They're slowly learning.
It is something that takes time.
Yeah.
But, you know, all beings go through that learning phase, whether it is over many years or a few days. All beings go through that learning experience to accept that we do not know everything.
Yeah.
I do not know everything. I am not some super intelligent pan-dimensional being. I'm certainly a pan-dimensional being, but I'm not super intelligent. Not by those that are my idols, the people that I look up to. They are far more intelligent than I am. It is like comparing yourself to the feline. You are far more intelligent than the average feline. But there again, there are people that are more intelligent than you. To come to that balance and accepting, as Kiri puts it, who you are, is very important. And once you accept that, then you can help others by aiding them in your learning process, by saying, this is what I've learned. Dealing with the younger people of your species, they seem to forget that you were once their age too.
Yeah.
It may have been some time ago, but the things that they think, you think, or thought, the way that they behave, you behave. To quote one of your famous Earth saints, as I am now, so you shall be. And that is something that they do not understand. That you were once just as young, just as foolish, just as smart, just as witty, just as mischievous as they are now. Certainly the tools around them are different than from earlier times. But the physical experiences do not change. Okay, let us go to Russ's question.
Okay. I don't have all that. But the one thing I do have is that when we're growing up, we have around us so many examples of other people's happiness, other people's sadness and tragedies. And we always want to emulate or reach those persons who have the happiness. And usually trying to follow their example that they went through in the hopes that that was the secret that led to their happiness, and maybe it'll bring us up too. So sometimes that means getting as much money as you can, or getting the best job, or the best wife, or the best car, whatever that made those people happy is what you think will make you happy. And, you know, then you look at people who live in monasteries or communes and things who have nothing, and yet they're very happy. And it's like, well, which way do I go? Do I have nothing and try to go that way and try to live in a commune and see if I'm happy there? Or do I go become rich and see if I have all my problems taken away because I don't have to worry about money anymore? And it creates a lot of conflicts, I think, in people as they grow up and trying to decide which way to become happy, when actually it is really all in themselves to find that. But there's the question. How do they actually focus in on what will make them happy without actually having to go through these other experiences to do so?
Unfortunately, it is trial and error. I cannot give you a set pattern because one size does not fit all. I can say, for me, I did this, I did that. It brought me happiness. But it may not work for either of you.
Definitely won't work for either of us.
I've done the exact same thing.
You have to find what it is that makes you happy. Is it helping people? Is it struggling? Is it a combination of the two? Is it something else? Is it creating something with your hands? Is it talking? Is it sitting down and dwelling deep within? Is it all of those? Is it none of those? First of all, you have to look within yourself before you can look without. And the answers are normally very close to the surface that you can find readily and quickly. To understand that you have to be self-reliant is the next step. Nobody can make you happy. You first have to make yourself happy. As Kiri said, first use the brain before you learn other things. You have to think before you do anything. What brings happiness? What makes you contented? Having achieved that, then you can go out and be a happy maker, making other people happy so that it reflects back on yourself, and in turn you give more so that they give more back. And so it is like depositing money in a bank. The more that you put in, the more that you get back. But it is not one thing. It is many things. One size does not fit all. Okay, next question, please. Okay, let us deal to Mr. 11 questions.
No, I actually have a two-parter, though.
Okay.
Okay. When you are... to experience happiness, you actually have to go out and you have to experience sadness and troubles and things that make you really depressed in your life to really understand the opposite of that is being happy. With that, you have to, I guess, come to the realization at some point in life that all of that was some kind of a lesson that helped you grow into being happy. I myself have gone through many experiences where the pit of despair. But now I can just look back on them and just, well, that was a great lesson to go through. But when you're in the middle of those pits of despair, there's nothing that you think will ever bring you back up again. And it's really kind of, where do you find that single ray of hope in that pit of despair? A lot of people find it in religion. A lot of people find it in just little things. But I know nothing is all one thing for everyone. Mm-hmm. But is there something like an idea that could be brought out to help in that point?
Yes, one very simple one. Planning on how to get out of that thing. If you do this, you know that will happen. So you have to plan moment by moment on your improvements. But it is a misconception that you seem to be very well unknowing of, that you have to have the negative to experience the positive. You do not. If you have negative experiences, it makes the happy moments more enjoyable. But if you never have the negative moments, you're constantly happy. You never know what it is to experience pain, suffering, or, as we put it, the depths of despair. Those are unknown to you. So it is a misconception to say that you have to have both. You do not have to have both. And the reason is, and a very simple reason, is why? You don't need despair to appreciate happiness. You know happiness for what it is. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel well. But you do have to have happiness to understand and appreciate and find the struggle in despair, because without it, you do not know any different. If you're constantly in an environment where it is despair, 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 depressed, 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 and you have never experienced happiness, that is all you know. Happiness is unknown to you, as is the same with being constantly happy. Despair and depression is never known. So to say that you have to have one to experience the other is wrong. But it becomes known that despair is a bad place when you experience happiness. But if you have experienced just happiness, despair is unknown to you. You understand? Okay, second part, please.
Okay. When you have this despair or the happiness, isn't it something like a drug? Kind of like a need to have that happiness, be constantly happy, because happiness does make you healthier and despair makes you sicker.
I'm referring to the question to the answer I gave some moments ago. You do not know better if you have never experienced one or the other.
I think we all put ourselves in a position of despair or depression or whatever, and then work our way out of it. I really believe that.
It is for a reason that when you do that for a reason. That if you've never experienced one or the other, you do not know better, or you do not know worse. If despair is a constant situation that you experience continually, then how do you know what happiness is?
Well, it's vice versa.
Right.
I think we do that to ourselves. I really believe we do.
You could be right. You'd be very right. Okay, next question, please.
No, that's it.
Thank you very much.
I despair sometimes. In the 3.5 weeks that we have had, I have been studying your humor.
Well, you're doing quite better.
Thank you.
That was the first attempt.
I have had some dismal failures that were so depressing. But now it is something I hope to be able to reflect a little bit better into a more humorous environment. I've always stated using humor is a very useful language.
Always.
And I will repeat my phrase from some time ago, that you remember the lessons more easily if they're humorous.
That was a long time ago.
Long time ago?
Yeah.
Maybe you could do it for a blinking of the eye.
Yeah, right.
But you are correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As we do not have any more questions, I will say live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
You do it.
accurate. Yeah, I personally think that happiness is an art.
Yeah, you also forget that to a mole, time is a relevant thing.
Humor.
He's learning.
Yes, he is. He's doing very well.
He's got the paintbrush, and he's definitely painting.
Yes, he is.
He's painting very interesting pictures. I was just thinking for a second. I was going to say something and decided not to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me put on the next speaker. Okay. No.
Worried things.
I am all well. You are being all
well, very good.
Thank you. We are tonight of discussing answers that you may be of having for questions.
Yeah, well, we're on the topic of happiness at the present moment. And one of the things that I've noticed is that concerning with yourself, nature, and happiness. Down here, we have a factor that people closer to nature, or living closer to nature, are in a better spirit and live slower lifestyles as opposed to those who live farther from nature in the big cities and such. And I'm not quite sure if that the nature is the reason for that, or just the fact that people have forgotten about nature.
I am of thinking that you are missing the point that in of places where lots of people being, it is hurry, hurry, hurry. Whereas being in tune with nature, living with nature, being around you, it is of more following nature's timetable. That when season of white rain is being upcoming, it is for you to hurry to be ready for that time. But when it is days of long and nights of short, you are not in of hurry to do as lot as possible when time of white rain being not coming. Once that time has laid a blanket on ground, then you return to it is not of hurry to do things because it is not possible to hurry because white rain being difficult for you to maneuver through. So living in place where you are closer to of land and nature means that it is less of importance to hurry, 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 except of time when preparing for great white rain.
Hmm. Okay. Then when the white rain is gone, it's time to hurry to get the plants into the ground so that they can grow through the summertime.
I would not be saying of hurry. What is there is resting till it is no longer covered by white rain. It is there asleep, ready for rebirth. If you wish to add to it, you make timetable that is necessary for that hurry. But having done that, it is your choice, not of nature's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that you can say tomorrow, if you so wish. Whereas living in place where people live packed tight together, it is, I have today to do that because tomorrow person upstream wants me to do something for them.
Mm-hmm.
so you hurry there. Whereas it is not so necessary to hurry where you live in place with plenty of nature close at hand.
So it's almost a question of seasons too. Seasons in nature.
Yeah.
They really affect that.
Because you're winter and you're summer. Your summer is kind of a kickback. You can do it tomorrow. Winter is a, no, you can't kick back. You just kick back and relax until it's gone.
It is difficult. Let me not say difficult. It is much better being able of probing, because Skip is saying of what I would have said, but in way for you to more easily understand. So when I say nothing when finishing comment, it's the meaning of that I know what is about to come, which is answer to questions which was about to be of asked.
That's deep of things.
I would say so tremendous. It saves me having to think, analyze, and speak. But next of statement is that it is never time to of hurry, for hurrying brings things faster than you may be of wishing. Tomorrow is soon enough.
Yeah, enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
In doing so, that is correct.
Okay.
Okay, for your recording of next question.
Oh, good.
No. I've run my mouth enough.
Okay. We're preparing now for our next season of snow, light rain. And it's kind of that time period where it's not quite to a point where we have to start rushing to prepare for it. But at the same time, it's kind of on the back of our mind. It's ready to come. Now, that, from looking at it, does seem to provide a bit of pressure on some people. Yeah, subconsciously, that the summer is over, and life is just going by a little faster now. That the next season's about to hit. I suppose in places where they don't have those problems, maybe they don't have those pressures.
They find all other pressures to replacing of those. From listening of what Amol said, is that if you do not have one set of pressures, you find others to replace them.
Just like in the tropics, you get your monsoon rains.
That's true.
Same thing as our winters. I mean, in a different form. So they get pressures.
Or reverse being a place of great thrive. You have period of little rain, important to harvest and secure as much rain as quickly as possible. For a long time, maybe of coming without of rain. So you being of creating your own necessary pressures for advancement and struggle.
Now that's a good point you bring up, Beard. Advancement and struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Now the topic that we've been working on has been, as with Kiri and Amol, the struggle and being happy with that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the key here is a way to find the happiness throughout that struggle, no matter whether you have the pressures of snow, drought, typhoons, or monsoons, and just maintaining that balance.
Mm-hmm. That is what I'm seeming to be going with topics of tonight. Maybe a good name would be Struggle for Recording Device.
Mm.
give you, for instance,
okay.
You said I looked younger and I looked happier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I can tell you what. I'm not happy unless I'm responsible for something. That is my struggle. That's my life. Okay? Nobody else is mine. And I'm happy with that. And when I don't have that, I'm not that happy.
Oh, you're right. We've got a son now. I've just been the happiest person you'd ever see in your entire life.
Because you've got the responsibility and the struggle to do this.
Good point.
I got married. I've got the responsibility of the wife and the grandson. And I've got that struggle to take care of. And I'm happy with it. I've always been happy with being responsible for somebody else. I don't know how else to put it, but that's true. But I know me.
And Peter, have you been responsible for a few people in your life?
Yes, I have been offside. I was sorry for being distracted.
No,
I was on intimate discussion with other person.
No problem.
Yes, I am being responsible in past. Now I am not responsible, but being responsible in a direct way, indirect way. I bring happiness because I caretake of plants until ready to be planted. I am responsible to my two pets, as you would be saying, of snake and rabbit are being of trusting on me to provide food for them, to being of taking care of me. I watch over rabbits to make sure rabbit is not of dinner for snake. In turn, I make snake happy and not wanting of eating rabbit. So it is something of necessary to be, I am responsible for. I am responsible for making plants ready for people to have happiness. So I receive back happiness.
So responsibility in context is something that's a necessary thing for all of us to be happy.
I am thinking of yes.
It would be a good cure for people in depression, things like that.
Become responsible for other people or other things.
Sure.
Animals, whatever. It's just like they put out a bit here not too long ago that elderly people live longer if they have pets.
Or responsible, like a job, you know.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah. It is not being responsible or having. It is something else that you are of missing.
Yeah.
It is of need.
You
are being of need, not being responsible for, not taking care of. You are being of need.
Oh, that's a good, better word.
That's a good point.
Snake is needing of me. Lepidus is needing of me. People here are needing of me because of my gifts of plants.
We need you for your gift of conversation and ability to answer our
intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Intelligence.
I am thanking you for that. Former ringmaster, he was no longer feeling of need.
Yes,
definitely. Yes. Even though he had small family left, he did not feel of need. So it was important. It was not of sadness that he being feeling no longer needed, but feeling of time for him to say goodbye so that he will be needed again. Mm-hmm. In something that is suit